there's a difference between what Southern culture is and what we think it is. And New Noise is exploring that idea through a new production called Oxblood. New Noise is a New Orleans-based multidisciplinary company combining theater, dance, and music. They're currently completing the AIR Serenby residency program and will present Oxblood this upcoming weekend in the great outdoors. Producer Gabby Watts spoke with Oxblood director Joanna Russo and New Noise's artistic director Phil Kramer last week, hot on the heels of their arrival in Atlanta. Here's Joanna.
New Noise creates original performances, and each of our shows tells a story. And something that we've always been interested in is most plays tell stories primarily through dialogue. And we're based out of New Orleans, which has a huge music scene. Phil is a musician. We've collaborated with a lot of other musicians. So tapping into that culture all around us, we also are drawn to using music to tell the story of our shows and drawn to using elements like movement and design as well to combine together to tell the story. But for the last few years, we've been making a trilogy called New Southern Hymnal, and Running Down the Mountain was the first in that piece in North Carolina. Oxblood is the second in that trilogy set here in the Georgia Piedmont, and we're at work now developing the third in the trilogy, Jubilee.
Well, I'm interested in, I mean, since you developed this away from the Georgia Piedmont, now you're performing it here, and it seems it's very site-specific. So how, you know, you arrived here on Monday, so have you been transforming the show in any way to kind of fit the space that you'll actually be performing in?
Well, there's a literal transformation which is taking place in that, you know, New Orleans is completely flat. There's no topography whatsoever. And so that's been an exciting part of the show so far, is figuring out, okay, we have this dance, this movement, this story that unfolds over a large expanse of space, and suddenly now it's taking place on a hill. That's been exciting and scary and all of those good things.
Also, you know, we're adapting to the site, in the trees that are there are impacting our performance. As Phil mentioned, the topography. And we've also had the opportunity to meet some of the folks whose family that land used to be. So we're also learning about the land and letting that inform the way we're using it.
Oh, the people who owned
the farm. To own it, yeah.
And that's, I guess, an important part of, in the story, or it mirrors the story, because the story is two sisters who return to rural Georgia after their century-old family home burns to the ground. And so, you know, they themselves are kind of reconnecting with something, and they're looking at the histories in that land as well. I guess, could you sort of go through the story and why you wanted to have, you know, these characters with the land?
Yeah, so I think that part of what we were interested in exploring in this part of this trilogy about the South was how our relationship to land has changed over time, and where we're at right now. So much of Southern culture is still rooted in the rural, in the way that we conceptualize and talk about it. And that's a striking thing at a moment when more and more people are moving into cities and actually the culture is changing. You know, if you look at sort of like the foodways or look at country music and the fact that it's written in Nashville, but it sounds like it's, you know, driving around a tractor in a farm somewhere, you know? And it's just, it's not that those realities don't exist, because they certainly still do. But I think there's a tension in the way that we talk about and we understand Southern culture, and maybe it needs a little bit of exploring and a little bit of reconceptualizing for the 21st century.
The way that plays out in the story of Oxblood is that there are these two sisters, Rose and Laurel, who grew up on this land on a farm in Georgia. And Rose went to college and moved away and started her own business in Memphis. And meanwhile, their parents grew ill and passed away, and Laurel was left on her own caring for them and get a job in a mill. And then that mill closed down and she moved from job to job. And now the family home has burned down, right? And Rose comes back with her husband, Jacob, to this land that they grew up on. and Laurel is eager to sell it. She feels that the land is holding her back, and selling the land would be a ticket out of debt and would give her freedom. And Rose has this emotional attachment to the land. She feels like this is the place that our parents worked the land, this is the place that our grandparents are buried, and to sell that land means to disconnect from our family and betray that history and that legacy and not know who we are anymore. But Rose doesn't want to be on the land either. She doesn't want to work it. She doesn't want to let go of her city life in Memphis. So I think we see this tension between our idea of being on the land and our actual connection or lack of connection to it.
And I thought, I mean, thematically, the show is looking at land, labor, and home. And sort of thinking about land and labor, I think there's the dimension that the South is the complicated relationship with land and labor because it's so entrenched with slavery as well. So how do those, you know, broader Southern historical narratives factor into the story?
Yeah, and I'm so glad you asked that question because that was really important to us in making the work. This question of how you talk about labor as white people in the South in relationship to the land, right? Because so much of the land around here had slaves on it and then had this whole history of sharecropping. And we thought about what's the history in this family, right? And throughout the show, it's something that we hear Laurel thinking and Laurel bringing up. And she's aware that the logic of this land is brutal and that her ancestors, people who settled this land, white people who settled this land, displaced the Native Americans who were already there and then stole people from across the ocean and forced them to work that land. And she's aware that there, as she puts it, there's as much blood in the soil as seed. And for her, that's another reason that this land feels like a burden. And Rose, her sister, doesn't want to acknowledge that and isn't interested in that, in that, you know, she has this idea, this sort of selective memory of what she wants to hold on to. She wants to hold on to her grandparents' hands in the soil and kneeling in prayer. And she doesn't want to hold on to the truth that her great-grandparents or great-great-grandparents were slaveholders.
And, well, I was reading about the workshop that you're doing, and it mentioned that the central question to the piece is there a place where your body belongs? Have you found that your bodies belong at Serenbe?
Well, we've found that we are really lucky to be working there right now and really grateful for this opportunity with Air Serenbe, the artist-in-residency program out there that has hosted us and is co-presenting this performance. And they've also been really great in connecting us with this particular piece of land, which now goes by the name Deer Hollow, which is just up the road from the residency program, as well as the current owners and some of the people who whose families have owned that land over the past previous generations. But I think that within the piece, that question, is there a place where your body belongs, was really kind of was circling back to this question Joanna was saying that Rose is asking in the piece. You know, she doesn't live in South Georgia anymore, and yet she still feels this connection and this tie to this land. She feels that it's in some way essential to who she is as a person. And it's the place where, yes, her ancestors are buried, and so in a very literal sense, it's where their bodies belong. But I think it also raises questions of displacement and ownership within the piece, you know, that it's very easy for the landowners to claim that this is where their body belongs. But of course, there's such a history of so many different people working this land who never owned it and who therefore are kind of unable to claim that same belonging. And so it's really interrogating that concept.